You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. Well, usually on this podcast, I'm talking to you about really important things happening in the halls of government, you know, a piece of legislation or a court decision, a Supreme Court decision, or perhaps some new initiative coming out of the White House. And all of these things, we try to make sure here at the James Dobson Family Institute that these things are related to what drives this ministry, which is faith, family, and freedom. This is our effort to talk to followers of Jesus Christ like you, to give you the wisdom and the guidance and the information you need to navigate all the confusing things that happen on a day-to-day basis in our country. I'm not going to do that today, because I suspect that for most of us, we're not wrestling right now with controversies about laws being passed or not passed or justices on the Supreme Court and what they wrote. I bet most of us are thinking about and pondering and praying about the unbelievably tragic news that came out of Texas in recent days. As millions of Americans celebrated the 4th of July, tragedy struck in the hill country of Texas along the Guadalupe River. Along that river, there are a number of camps, several of them Christian camps. One in particular is called Camp Mystic. They've been there for, in some cases, decades, and thousands of young Christians have gone to those camps and have had their faith strengthened by parents and grandparents who sent their children and grandchildren there. During an unusual weather phenomena of incredibly heavy rain, this area, by the way, is known for its flash floods because it's a low-lying area bordered by hills. But nonetheless, this rain was bigger than usual. They were expecting 6 or 7 inches. It ended up being rain falling at the rate of 12 inches an hour. The river rose rapidly. Over 100 people have died as I speak to you. There are still dozens missing. Every one of those people had someone they loved, and every one of those people were loved by someone. But to make it even more tragic, there was a disproportionate number of young Christian girls that died or are missing from the floods. And I can't even begin to imagine, I'm sure you can't either, of what their families are dealing with. Because as followers of Jesus Christ, when something happens, we always ask ourselves, well, how does this fit into God's plan? What was God intending here? But of course, you can't possibly know God's plan in any complete way that explains tragedies like this when they happen. And I suspect there are people in Texas whose faith is being challenged. Maybe even some of you are wondering whether the construct we have about the meaning of life and what the Bible tells us holds up when darkness descends. And there's no doubt about it. What has descended on countless families in Texas can only be described as darkness. We can hear the numbers, you know, over 100. Sadly, tragedies with over 100 victims happen a lot. Sometimes we can become almost numb to all of that. But still, it's a lot of people. And again, these are individuals. And so when we start hearing individual stories, then it all becomes very real to me. and to us. I remember a few days ago hearing this story being told by one of the girls at the camp that survived. She said that her best friend realized as they were trying to seek safety that she had left her Bible behind. And so before her friend could stop her, the girl ran back into the cabin to get her Bible. She found it, and she came out of the cabin beaming, clutching her most prized possession. Probably had been given to her by her parents or by her grandparents or maybe by the pastor at the church she had been baptized in. But she had found it. And the girl telling this story about her friend, her voice broke because at the time of the telling of the story, that girl had been lost and had not been found yet, and the worst was feared. And then there was the story, and I picked these two sisters only because it was a story readily available, but I'm sure there are similar, unbelievably heart-wrenching stories that can be told about every person and every child in this terrible event. But these two girls, sisters, Blair and Brock, ages 13 and 11, from one family, when the waters started rising, they were visiting their grandparents, and they went to the loft into the cabin, thinking that maybe the flooding would just be on the first floor. And we know from some messages they sent that the two girls in that loft were praying together. Later, all contact was lost with them. There was one final message at 2:30 a.m. that they sent to their family that said, "We love you." Their bodies were found 15 miles away in a ditch, and rescuers said their hands were still clasped together as they clutched each other. They were described by the Catholic school they attended as exceptional girls of a deep, deep faith and a love for Jesus Christ. Their parents will not see them again alive in this world. But we know that they are seeing the wonderful face of Jesus right now. I don't know how I would react if I suffered a loss like this. Do any of us really know how we would react? A friend of mine, Pastor Robert Jeffries of First Dallas, we're both members of the Faith Advisory Board that President Trump has. He went on Fox News a couple of days ago to try to address very briefly. These interviews are only a couple minutes long, but I wanted to just play a few seconds of the interview because he directly zeroes in on the question everybody asks. Why would God allow something like this to happen?
It's inconceivable what we're seeing right now. The question I'm often asked is, why would God allow something like this to happen? And I remind people that the world we're living in right now is not the way God intended the world to be. Floods like this, earthquakes, war, death, none of those things was part of God's plan. But the good news is this world we're in won't always be this way. The great hope of the Christian faith is that one day Christ is going to return and he's going to bring a new heaven and a new earth.
That last sentence, that one day Christ will return and bring a new heaven and a new earth. The pastor was referring to chapter 21 in Revelation, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, a new heaven and a new earth. Just think about that. He's talking about an earth where there will be no more flash floods, no more earthquakes or tornadoes or hurricanes or famines or wars. The earth God intended for us when he set us down in Eden and then sin entered into the world and the earth has been corrupted and there's suffering and the earth groans. Later in that chapter, verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Were you listening to that? No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. What does that mean? It means no more walking in the hallways of hospitals filled with anxiety, wondering whether your child is going to get through the surgery okay, or whether your father is going to survive the latest stroke. No more lab tests. No more cancer. No more surgeries. No more watching a loved one struggle to breathe. That is what our faith promises us. That is what the future holds. That is what those little Christian girls are experiencing right now. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus says to Martha, before he raises from the dead her brother Lazarus, who has been in the tomb dead for 4 days. Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do we believe this? If so, we can reassure the suffering families in Texas that they will see their daughters again. You know, a lot of you probably know the famous story about the famous hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. It Is Well With My Soul, the lyrics were written by a man named Horatio Spafford. He was a financially successful attorney and a real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. But that wasn't all that life dealt to him. Around the same time, his beloved 4-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Spafford thought that his family needed something to help them deal with their grief. So he sent his wife and their 4 daughters on a ship to England. He planned to join them later after he finished cleaning up some pressing business matters at home. As the ship was crossing the Atlantic, there was a terrible accident, and over 200 people lost their lives, including all 4 of Horatio Spafford's beloved daughters. His wife miraculously survived the tragedy. And when she was finally there in England, rescued by another ship, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, saved alone. What shall I do? Horatio immediately set sail for England, and on the voyage, the captain of the ship came to him and said they were in the ocean near the place the ship had gone down, where he had lost his four daughters. And so he told others later that he was suddenly overwhelmed as words flooded into his mind that he wrote down that became the lyrics of "It Is Well With My Soul." What a peace, like a river, attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. And then later, another verse, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then a couple verses later, but Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. And then the last verse, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. My friends, seek comfort in those verses. Everybody listening today will die. Everyone that we know and who love us will die. But we take comfort in knowing that for those of us who follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a place has been prepared. The little girls of Texas are there right now, and we will be someday too. Thank you for being with me this week on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.